It's Jim, it's the World of Bonds, it's Friday the 4th of December 2020, and today's advent calendar chocolate was a Cadbury's caramel. Government bonds were generally quiet. The US dollar, though, continues to slide. The euro's rallying against it, and emerging market currencies too, and currencies like Norwegian krona, Swedish krona, all of those oil-based currencies too, doing extremely well at the moment against the US dollar. The other thing going on at the same time is that break-even inflation rates are breaking out somewhat. So if we went back before the coronavirus crisis, break-even inflation rates in the US, i.e. the difference in yield between TIPS, Treasury Inflation Protected Securities, and nominal US Treasuries, was about 1.5%, suggesting that the market thought that on average over the next 5 years, inflation would be at 1.5%. In the depths of March and the shutdown, that got down to 0.2%, so the market almost starting to factor in deflation in the US market. Over the course of the summer and into autumn, that break-even rate trended back up to where it was before coronavirus at 1.5%, but today that's at 1.8%. That's still below the Fed's target, as you know, of 2%, and possibly higher than that under its new inflation targeting regime. But nevertheless, we're seeing a clear trend upwards in inflation expectations at the moment as this exuberance continues in stock markets and expectations around the vaccine. That's also triggered yesterday a record low for US high yield. So the average yield on US junk bonds got down to its record low yesterday of 4.45%. Robin Wigglesworth in the FT today describes the general market environment as, quote, a Labrador market which is simply delighted with everything it encounters. So good quote there. This week saw the sad death of the first French president that I remember in my lifetime, Valéry Giscard d'Estaing. It was him who famously coined the phrase exorbitant privilege, and that was to describe the power that the US sovereign had effectively from owning the world's reserve currency, the US dollar, and being able to convert that currency into gold at a fixed rate. D'Estaing thought that this was a big advantage to American living standards and to US global companies, and that was at the detriment of all the other nations in the world. And this has been a long-running bugbear of the French government, all the way back from De Gaulle onwards, effectively. A lot of antagonism around the kind of monetary policy regime in the world. Remember, this was coming towards the end of the Bretton Woods Agreement, which fixed currencies to gold. And towards that, at the end of that agreement, there was a lot of scepticism about whether the US would be able to honour that commitment to turn a US dollar into a fixed amount of gold. And in part, perhaps trying to break that commitment, in part down to worries about the credibility of that commitment and wanting to get rid of their US dollar holdings in exchange for gold, the French went to America with its US dollar holdings in 1971 and effectively tried to get as much gold out of America as it could before Bretton Woods broke, as it did in 1971. Lots of myths and legends around what happened between the French and the US at that time. One myth is that they sailed a battleship into the harbour of New York and parked it, did you park a battleship? Just off the coast of Manhattan to collect their gold bullion from the US government in exchange for France's dollar holdings. Unfortunately, France didn't have any battleships at the time, so that's probably unlikely. But there are records of France sailing, I think a destroyer or something much smaller, over to New Jersey. So according to Reddit, the myth is nearly true, but not quite as dramatic as the battleship off the coast of Wall Street. So the gold standard ended anyway, Bretton Woods ended. But that's not the end of what I want to say about Giscard, because he's also famous for Giscard bonds. Not many people who have a type of bond named after them. Maybe Dalton in the UK. There were bonds called Daltons, named after, I think it was a Chancellor of the Exchequer in the UK back in the day, 100 years ago. But Giscard bonds were different in one big respect, in that they were French government bonds where the maturity proceeds were linked to the price of gold. So as gold went up against fiat currencies, Giscard bonds would hold their value. So a bit like index-linked bonds in some way, a hedge against inflation or perceived inflation, because the link between gold and inflation isn't perfect either. But nevertheless, those were issued. They matured in 1987. And if you go and have a Google about that, you'll see that that caused a lot of excitement in the gold market, because no one really knew whether the French government had hedged that risk and had enough gold in order to repay that that bond, or whether they were kind of running a naked risk with it going forward. So a lot of excitement about that. Also, on the subject of Giscard bonds, for those of you who are a Tom Wolfe fan, the novelist who wrote Bonfire of the Vanities, which I'm going to talk about, but he also wrote the Electric Kool-Aid Acid Test, which I highly recommend. It was kind of required teenage student reading back in the day about Ken Kesey and his band of merry pranksters driving a bus around countercultural America in the 1960s. Really interesting, brilliant book. Non-fiction, that one. Bonfire of the Vanities is fiction, but it concerns a bond trader, bond salesman called Sherman McCoy, who works for Pierce and Pierce. And Sherman McCoy has the trade of his lifetime on. That trade of the lifetime is trading in Giscard bonds, and it kind of makes him enough money in order to pay off the mortgage on his apartment. Also worth, while we're on the subject of Sherman McCoy, played by Tom Hanks in the film. I haven't watched the film, actually, because I love the book so much I decided not to. I did read the book about the making of the film. It's really interesting as well. There's a famous shot, apparently, of Concorde flying in out of the sun from London, landing at JFK. So I might get around to watching it at some stage. But I did watch the YouTube clip yesterday of Sherman McCoy, played by Tom Hanks, explaining to his kid in the back garden what a bond salesman did. And he starts off by in his head, what a bond salesman does is sell the instruments that make America great and create infrastructure and build roads and railroads, etc. Unfortunately, his wife butts in at this point and explains it's more like a birthday cake, and Sherman McCoy just sweeps up the crumbs after the birthday cake has been passed round between different people and kind of bursts his bubble somewhat. Worth a watch. This is for professional investors only. It's never investment advice, and I hope you have a brilliant weekend. Bye.